Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, March the 5th, and free agency is drawing near. We're getting closer to the official start of the free agency period in the NFL, and there's a bunch of news and rumors and rumblings out there, and some of them are concerning the Miami Dolphins, and that's where I'm going to start today's show, because it was reported on Monday from Josina Anderson of ESPN that recently released Patriots tight end, and he was released on Monday as well by the Patriots. Dwayne Allen has interest from the Miami Dolphins. Pro Football Talk is reporting that after he was released on Monday, four teams reached out to Dwayne Allen and set up visits with him for later this week. And the four teams per Josina Anderson are the Miami Dolphins, the Ravens, the Lions, and also the Buffalo Bills. So when the Patriots did cut Dwayne Allen on Monday, their thought was they want to re-sign him just at a lower number. Well, it looks like they might not get that opportunity because Dwayne Allen has a lot of interest on the open market. And if you're the Miami Dolphins, this move makes sense on many levels. Number one, if you think in 2019 you're going to play a young quarterback, whoever that young quarterback is, yet to be determined, the one area you want stability at is at tight end. To have a veteran tight end who can, you know, be that, you know, guy who a young quarterback, when he's under pressure, under stress, and he's not sure where to go with the ball, let me look for the tight end and see if I can feed him the ball. Number one. Number two, the Miami Dolphins right now at tight end have a lot of question marks. Yes, Nick O'Leary last year was fantastic, and I love Nick O'Leary. You give me a roster filled of guys who have the heart of Nick O'Leary, and you're going to have a hell of a team. The problem is the two rookies that Miami drafted last year, Mike Gesicki and Smythe out of Notre Dame. They were absolutely awful last year for the Dolphins. Let's not sugarcoat this in any way. They're no longer rookies. We're going into year two. We got to call it what it is. Those guys gave the Miami Dolphins pretty much absolutely nothing last year. And I'm not sure how much of an improvement we will see in year two of them. That's a big question mark. That's a huge question mark. And why I think the Miami Dolphins must look to solidify their tight end spot heading into 2019. Now, again, that doesn't mean going out there and signing a high-priced guy or using a draft pick in round one or two here to get someone at tight end. But they need more than what they have now. And someone like Dwayne Allen might be a good fit. The third thing is, obviously, Dwayne Allen was with the Patriots, and he probably will be familiar with the style of offense that Chad O'Shea is going to be running here with the Miami Dolphins. So it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense why the Miami Dolphins would have interest in Dwayne Allen. Obviously, there's a lot of teams who have interest right now in Dwayne Allen. So this is far from a sure thing. Far from it. And I don't see the Miami Dolphins. And this is not just for someone like Dwayne Allen. You can put this in stone for pretty much anyone this offseason in the free agency period. They will not get into a war when it comes to money for any player. If they offer him X amount of money and here come the Lions who offer him more, Miami's going to be like, okay, thanks, see you later, go. They will not get into a bidding war for Dwayne Allen or pretty much any player this offseason. That's not where they are right now. They're a rebuilding team looking to, you know, blow up this roster here and sort of fix a lot of things, and they're not going to overpay for any one guy, especially someone like Dwayne Allen, who's a heck of a player. He's not a superstar by any means, but he's a solid, professional NFL tight end and someone who I think would come into Miami, be their number one tight end from the start, and, you know, someone maybe these younger kids can learn from, I guess is a way to say it, but he's not someone you're going to overpay for or chase down here. But we'll see how that comes out. But Dwayne Allen being linked to the Miami Dolphins, one of four teams here showing early interest in him. There was a report, which if anyone actually read the report and didn't just read the headline, they would know the whole story. But I will mention it here. Ryan Tannehill, there's a report that the Miami Dolphins and the Washington Redskins are talking about a trade for Ryan Tannehill. That's what the headline read. And if anyone actually read the report said pretty much that the Miami Dolphins are just picking up the phone right now and they're calling every team in the league essentially, seeing if anyone would part with anything for Ryan Tannehill. And they're being told pretty much no right across the board. Somehow it was linked. They called the Redskins. And I guess the Redskins, they didn't say no within the first, 5 seconds of the phone call. So now it's being reported, oh, you got the Miami Dolphins. They're talking to the Redskins about a trade for Ryan Tannehill. Folks, again, I hope it happens. I hope any team would give the Miami Dolphins anything for Ryan Tannehill. But I don't see it happening. Tannehill is just, A, he's not very good. That's number one. And two, he's got a contract that nobody wants. He's not worth the contract he got in Miami. So I just don't see Tannehill having a market out there. And I wouldn't be shocked if between now, on March 12th to March 13th or so, Tannehill is just released. Just let him go and eat the money this year. Get it over with. Don't even have it be a post June 1st cut where you can sort of split up the payments and the hit on it. Just eat it. Just get rid of him. It's time to move on. The Ryan Tannehill era in Miami is over. I know, there's a segment of the fan base that just loves the guy and will make endless excuses for the guy. I get it, but, it's time to just sort of admit it's over, lick your wounds, and move on. I mean, he's not any good, and you're not going to get anything for him in a trade. Speaking about quarterbacks, for those of you who follow me on social media and on Twitter, on Sunday, I made a prediction, and this is a very early prediction. This is lighthearted and fun, so don't go crazy reading too much into it or holding me to this, because I did say this is subject to change many times. But the quarterback carousel we're seeing take place right now in the NFL of who's going to land with what team and who's going to be traded here or who's going to sign with this team or who's going to get drafted with that team. I made my prediction as of March 3rd. I put this up on Sunday. So, and I just want to go over it real quick and let you know my reasoning behind my predictions. I said 4, Arizona, and I'm stunned by this, but it looks like it will happen, that they will draft Kyler Murray number 1 overall. So my prediction was Arizona, when all is said and done and everything shakes out after the draft, will end up with Kyler Murray. Jacksonville, I said Nick Foles, which seems like, once again, almost a done deal, as they are pretty much the only spot that is showing serious interest in Foles. I had the Giants making a trade for Josh Rosen, and here's why. Number one, heading into last year's draft, the Giants were very high on Rosen. They liked him a lot. Their new head coach at the time, Pat Shermer, was a big fan of Rosen. And, there was thoughts that they may take him at the top of last year's draft. With, I believe they had pick number, 2 or so. But, obviously, they like Saquon Barkley more, so they went in that direction. And I think the Giants, if they could get rid of their second-round pick here, could probably have Rosen. And I think when all said and done, they might do that. So that's why I have Rosen heading to the Giants. I have Washington, who needs a quarterback in the worst way, making a big trade on draft night and heading up to the top of round 1 to take Dwayne Haskins. I have the Broncos taking Drew Lock. I have Cincinnati, who needs to do something at quarterback because Andy Dalton's time and stuff there is really numbered. I have them taking Daniel Jones in round one. I think you have a young head coach in Zach Taylor, and I think he might like to get his young quarterback of the future in year one out of the way. So I think Jones out of Duke is a good fit there. And for Miami, I have them signing sort of the hometown hero, Teddy Bridgewater, to a one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal, and just sort of riding with him in 2019. So that's my predictions. Again, this is subject to change. And a couple things here. Number one, for those of you who are out there saying, why aren't the Miami Dolphins trying to trade for Josh Rosen? It's not going to happen. Omar Kelly of the South Florida Sun Sentinel, he is reporting the Miami Dolphins have zero interest in Josh Rosen. They didn't like him last year when he was coming out of UCLA, and they have no interest in him now. They don't care how much money he's been paid already or how little money he's owed. They don't care. They just don't want him. They don't like him. They're not a fan of him. So that's not going to happen. The other team to watch here for this quarterback carousel would be the Raiders. And what do they do with Derek Carr? Now, up until now, and by now I mean like the first week of March, we've heard and we've seen many reports that the Raiders are happy with Carr and they're willing to move forward with him. And that may be the truth, but it also may be a smokescreen or things do change over time. And if the Raiders fall in love here, with whether it's Haskins or whoever, Locke, maybe that changes and they do look to trade Carr and maybe look to take a... Because they got three picks in round one, folks. Three in round one. And one at the very top of round one with pick number four. They can pretty much have almost anyone they want, probably, except for Kyler Murray. So I would not be shocked in the least to see if the Raiders, you know, fall in love with one of these guys here, to see them try and move Carr, which is a tough move because he makes a lot of money. You want to talk about a tough contract to move. Carr has a tough contract to move. But if he was on the block, I think you see the Redskins and I think you see the Giants tripping over themselves trying to land him. So I think the Raiders would have some teams out there who would part with something for Derek Carr. But they're the wild card here in this whole quarterback carousel in that I'm not quite sure what the Raiders are going to do. And they could sort of upset the apple cart here, throw a monkey wrench into things. Trey Flowers. I know Tom talked about this on Monday's show. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Here's what I'm going to say. He's being linked to Miami, you know, in a lot of places. And to me, this makes no sense on any level. When you're a team that is rebuilding, you do not go out and spend in the neighborhood of $17 million per year on a player like Trey Flowers. The Miami Dolphins are not a player like Trey Flowers away from being good. And I know Trey Flowers, you know, he's played for Flores before. He'll know the system, and he's a high-quality individual. He's smart. All those things are 100% true. But to me, we've been down this road before, and that's when the Miami Dolphins signed Ndamukong Suh to that ridiculous contract a few years back. And, well, signing here, Trey Flowers, wouldn't cost the Miami Dolphins that much money. I mean, not as much as Sue. It's still a lot of money in $17 million a year. The signing, to me, is reminiscent of the Sue signing, and it's almost like the Sue signing, but the light version of that. Like, Ndamukong Suh light with Trey Flowers. And it makes zero sense at all to sign Trey Flowers. I think some fans are still having a hard time sort of coming to grips with that. The 2019 season, the Miami Dolphins are not going to be a very good football team. And the reason is they're trying to clear out bad contracts. They're trying to rebuild this team with youth and guys who need to be here. And someone like Trey Flowers just doesn't fit that mold. Now when you got to pay him $17 million a year, okay? Even if they get away with only having to pay him $15 million, it's still too much. The Miami Dolphins are in a rebuild. They don't need to pay a Trey Flowers, okay? Yes, he's a great player, but that's not what they need right now. And I hope, you know, who knows when it's all said and done what the Miami Dolphins will do. But if they're being honest and that they're going to build this roster the way that they want to rebuild it, try something new, try a whole new approach in how the roster is built to not just be one of those teams that wins 6, 7, 8 games every year, maybe fights for a wild card spot, get blown out in the first round of the wild card, and then back to the no man's land of the NFL. If they're trying to build the right way where you're a consistent winner, you don't sign Trey Flowers this offseason. You just don't. You let him go. Let him sign somewhere else. And, you know, guys like Trey Flowers are on the free agent market every year. You don't need to sign him this year. There's going to be another guy who's just like him in a year or two. Or, you know, you can find those guys anywhere. So I really hope we don't sign Trey Flowers. The Combine. The Combine ended today. And, look, I watched it. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch. But it is, you know, like Mike Mayock famously said, it is the underwear Olympics. And, you know, you see some of the analysis out there by people in the media, and you see other guys with blogs and this, and they, you know, they read so much into some of this stuff, it's almost comical. It really is almost comical. You know, a guy ran a 40-yard dash, and he's a 300-pound lineman. It shows he's got, it don't show anything. It shows he's a fast guy. That's all it shows, okay? At the end of the day, what you get from the combine is you get an opportunity for every team to be under one roof and to see, you know, the best of the best players in this upcoming draft. You know, just make sure, A, that they're not hurt, and B, that they don't do something so stupid that they get sent home from the combine, essentially. And that's really all it is. You want to get the medical information on each guy. You want to make sure nobody's got any red flags health-wise, no, you know, heart issues, nobody's got, you know, whatever. And that's pretty much all it is. If a guy ran a 4.5 compared to a 4.4, is it really that big a deal at the end of the day? It's really not. It's really not. What these guys did on film, on tape, in college the past 2, 3, 4 years, that's what matters. That's what matters. And, you know, I was reading, you know, some people out there, well, this guy's a scheme fit for the Miami Dolphins. Who the hell knows what the Miami Dolphins scheme is going to be? We have an idea what it's going to be because of the because our staff is, for the most part, come from the Patriots and is going to have a heavy influence of what the Patriots have done in the past. We don't know what the Miami Dolphins scheme is going to be. Patrick Graham, who is the new defensive coordinator, you know, he's a first-time defensive coordinator. We think he will be, you know, heavily influenced by Brian Flores, which makes sense, but for the most part, nobody knows. And it's pure speculation, and people are reading way too much into, oh, he's a scheme fit for the Dolphins. This guy's a good fit for the Dolphins. I mean, some of these guys are a good fit for any team in the league because they're high-quality players, okay? Especially the pass rushers in this draft. You know, they would fit on any team. So, yeah, they're a good scheme fit for the Dolphins. That's real safe. You know, I'm really not going out on a limb there. The other thing is, you know, people read into, well, the Miami Dolphins talk to this player, and the Miami Dolphins talk to that player. If there's one thing we've learned in recent years, if the Miami Dolphins talk to a player in the lead-up to the draft, it means they're probably not drafting them. It means they're probably not drafting them. If you look at the past 3, 4 years, everyone that the Miami Dolphins have drafted in round one or in round two, you know, the Miami Dolphins did their homework on, you know, very much under the radar. And they didn't meet with these guys publicly, you know, either A, at the combine, or B, at their pro days. They just, you know, played their hands close to their vest. Now, was that a Mike Tannenbaum thing or a Chris Greer thing? Probably a little of both. Probably a little of both. And I wouldn't be shocked if Chris Greer continues this trend. But, you know, just because the Miami Dolphins talk to a player does not mean they have extreme interest in them. And, in fact, it might mean the exact opposite, that they don't have interest in them at all, and they're trying to throw everyone off their scent, so to speak. So the combine, you know, take it for what it's worth. Do not get worked up over, you know, a guy's vertical leap or his time in the four. It's not that important when it's all said and done. These teams do their homework on players, and they watch film. And the film from when they played in the games matters a whole hell of a lot more than what anybody does for a few days in Indianapolis running around in their underwear. So take all that stuff with a grain of salt. Two more things here as I wrap up the show. There was an article in Pro Football Talk, it references a Miami Herald article about Minkah Fitzpatrick and what the Dolphins want to do with Minkah Fitzpatrick moving forward. Obviously, this past year, Minkah played a little bit of safety, played a little bit of slot cornerback, and a little bit of the boundary cornerback after the year. Mika said he really would like to know this offseason where the Miami Dolphins want to play him so he can get his weight where it needs to be. Because in each one of those spots, you know, you gotta have your body at a certain, weight so you can perform at the highest level. And per Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, the team has told Mika Fitzpatrick they see him as a safety over the long term. And they want him at safety over the long term, which is the best spot for him. He should be the Miami Dolphins free safety full time. You'll put him there for the next, 5-10 years and just not worry about it. That's where he needs to be, and it looks like that's what the Miami Dolphins have told him. But that does open up the question, what do you do with Rashad Jones and TJ McDonald? Both of those guys are strong safeties. Both of those guys are essentially the same player. And I don't know what's going to happen. Here's what I do know. If the Miami Dolphins put Rashad Jones on the trade block tomorrow, you would have, 5 to 10 teams ringing their phone off the hook trying to get him. That's just a fact. Rashad Jones would net the Miami Dolphins probably a draft pick in rounds 3 or 4. And I think you'd have a line of teams. I think you see teams like the Saints, teams like the Chiefs, and such, lining up to get a player like Rashad Jones. Teams that are very good who are maybe missing that one final piece on their defense to add and to sort of put them over the top. So if I'm the Dolphins, the first move I do is try to move Rashad Jones because A, I think he can net something big in return. B, he's on the wrong side of 30. And C, and this is just me talking, I don't know anybody on the team, when he quit in the game last year against the Jets, to me, I don't know how you can rebound from that. And I know that sort of got overshadowed last year. I think it was overshadowed because most of the players on the team hated Adam Gase more. And the fact that they hated Adam Gase more made them sort of give Rashad Jones a pass. I think if the Miami Dolphins had a head coach last year that the team liked and the team rallied around, I'm not sure Jones would have got off so easy with some of his teammates. But he kind of did. So Jones would be, I'd be looking to move him first. TJ McDonald, to me, he's just a guy. He's a nice player. He's just a guy. If they can move Jones, I would hold on to McDonald and sort of pair him up with Minka. If not, then I would be looking for a way to move on from McDonald, which you probably have to release him. If they wanted to move on from both TJ McDonald and Rashad Jones, I wouldn't have a problem with that either. Because at this point, this Miami Dolphins team is being rebuilt. They're in a rebuilding phase. I won't use the term tanking. But I don't see either one of those guys as a long-term answer in the secondary for the Miami Dolphins. So if you want to just rip the Band-Aid off, move Mika Fitzpatrick to free safety, and then just start from scratch at strong safety, I'd have no problem with that either. But if it were me, I'd be looking to trade Rashad Jones because I do think he could net something of value in return via a trade. But per Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, the Miami Dolphins are planning on moving forward with Mika Fitzpatrick at safety. Now, the last story here of the day is sort of not really Miami Dolphins related, but, it's sort of something you got to talk about on a day like this. So on Monday, Luke Perry died. Now, I know some of you are saying, why are you talking about Luke Perry on a Miami Dolphins podcast? That's not what I tune in for. But I do actually have a Luke Perry story and an encounter I had with Luke Perry. God, it's got to be 8 or 9 years ago. No, I forget the exact year. So Luke Perry, for those of you who don't know, is from Ohio and a diehard fan of the Cleveland Browns. And pretty much except for me, I would say the vast majority of my family are diehard fans of the Cleveland Browns. And for a while there, when my father was a little bit younger and most of my family was a little bit younger, once a year we would go and we'd make a trip to Cleveland for a game of the Browns when they played whoever. It was just a, father-son. It was me, my brother, my father, and maybe one or two other friends of ours who would go to Cleveland every year and watch the Cleveland Browns play a game. It didn't matter who they were playing. We'd just go. And I want to say this is 8 or 9 years ago now at this point. So we're there at the game, and we're in one of the club areas, I guess you would call it. And it was like halftime, or like halftime was just winding down. And there was one of the high top tables in this club area. And there's a guy sitting there all by himself, sipping on a water, watching some things on a flat screen. And I'm looking at this guy, I know this guy's face from somewhere. I know it. He was wearing just sort of like a light coat. This was probably September, October. Wearing a light coat and a hat. I'm like, this guy's face, I know it's somewhere. I just don't know. He looks so familiar. And I said something to my father. He goes, I don't know. Because he don't know who Luke Perry is. He never watched any of Penny Show with Luke Perry. So after like 5 or 10 minutes of clicks, that's 90210's Luke Perry. And he's sitting there by himself. Nobody recognized him. Nobody bothered him. He was there by himself watching this game in this club area of the Cleveland Browns team. So I walk up to him, and I don't want to be the total fanboy. Because, look, I was a big 90210 fan. This is one of those things. If you're of a certain age, and for people who are listening in their 20s, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about, and you have no idea why Luke Perry's a huge deal. For people of a certain age, and I would say now it's got to be between 35 to like 45, maybe 50 years old, Luke Perry in 90210 was the biggest thing in the 90s. And it was one of those shows. This is before, you know, the internet was a big deal. This is way before everyone had a cell phone. This is way before, this was before when, you know, TV shows on a network were still a big deal. And 90210 once a week was a big deal. And I would say if you're of a certain age, guy or a girl, you watched 90210 and you knew who Luke Perry was, because it was more of an ensemble cast, but, you know, he was the star of the stars. He was the star of the ensemble. He was the big name. So I walk over to him and go, are you Luke Perry? And he looks at me quietly like, I just got recognized. I go, I don't mean to bother. I just want to say I'm a huge fan of your show and always been a huge fan. Shook his hand and I was going to leave. And, he looks at me, and he was at this game alone. So he looks at me and goes, are you a fan of the Browns? And I explained to him, well, not really. My whole family is. They're all over there. And, you know, I'm really a fan of the Dolphins, but I'm here watching this game. It was the Browns against Cincinnati. That's what they were playing. And it was an awful game. I mean, it was a brutally bad game. Both those teams were bad that year. And we just started talking for a few minutes about football. I probably had a conversation with him. It ran into the third quarter. I know that because this was like just at the end of halftime. It ran into the third quarter. We probably talked for 15, 20 minutes just about football. I might have asked him one 90210 question, which he just sort of rolled his eyes and sort of chuckled at. But we just sort of talked football. I told him I was someone from Syracuse, New York, and he sort of laughed because he goes, oh, Jim Brown, Ernie Davis, and all that. Yep, Jim Brown, which if you're a fan of the Browns, you know what that means. Jim Brown, Ernie Davis, came from Syracuse, big name for the Browns, all stuff. So we chatted a little just about, you know, light stuff with the football. And then I let him go his way, and I went back to my seat. But, it was a quick interaction. And, you know, one of those random things that somebody just run into who was a big-time celebrity. He was so under, because when this happened, 90210 had been off the air for a few years. Not like Luke Perry was still making tons of movies or tons of shows. I mean, he made his money in Hollywood, and he was living a comfortable life. But he was just out with a baseball cap, out with a light coat, at this game alone, in this club area access part, which was kind of high-end. Not just anyone could get into. I happen to know someone to get my family in there, so we were able to get in there. And, you know, couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been a sweeter guy. So when I heard the news on Monday that he had passed away and died, I really did. It sort of shook me for a bit because, A, number one, I love the show. It was a great show, 90210. And, B, just that brief 15, 20-minute conversation I had with him that one time about 8, 9 years ago or so. He couldn't have been nicer. Nicest guy in the world. Just talking sports with him, talking football. And, you know, it was just sad to hear that he passed away at such a young age of 52 years old. So I wanted to share my Luke Perry story. Just so random that, you know, I ran into Luke Perry once in Cleveland, Ohio at a football game. But, you know, it's just so sad to hear of his passing. So that's all I have for today's show. I would like to thank everyone once again for listening. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. And be sure to check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. And we got a bunch of new articles up and stuff. And And I'm working on some new interviews to have on the website. So be on the lookout for them here in the coming days and weeks. And also some new features on the website as well. I got some things in the works that I'm working on behind the scenes that I think you all will enjoy. So everyone, have a great rest of your Tuesday. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.